Brian Blaney plays the winning strategy at Pocono, while Corey LaJoy and Kyle Busch tangle. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk. Hi, I'm Doug Rice. I'll be joined by PRN's very own Alexis Erickson and straight from the Lone Star State, Brad Gilley.
It's Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. Sunoco. Whether you're headed to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco Ultratech. Now here's your host for Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
On this edition of Fast Talk, we'll talk about a red-hot Ryan Blaney scoring his second win of the season. We'll also discuss the guys on the bubble who can make it in on points that are hovering around the NASCAR cut line. We'll also chat about a couple of race teams that just can't wait for the season to get over. And we'll visit with Michael Young of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, talking about a return to the Oval at IMS this weekend. Hi, I'm Doug Rice, joined by Brad Gilley and Alexis Erickson. We're fresh off the heels of a win at Pocono by Ryan Blaney, his 12th career win, back at the track where he scored his first ever victory. And Blaney says it was a lot of plans all coming together.
I knew early that our car was competitive enough to try to contend for the win, and we kind of migrated to that game plan. And props to Jonathan for having that game plan, and it working out. All the pit crew guys did a good job of executing when they needed to keep us in, you know, that front battle. And so, yeah, it's a constant change of plans, and you never know when a caution is going to come out. It can ruin or make your race. You just try to do the best you can with controlling the things that you can control. And we did. We controlled the hell out of things that we could control, and it worked out, you know, the very best for us.
Great quote from the movie Dune. Of course, it's a great quote because it's from Dune. But there's a line, there are plans within plans. And Brad Gilley, that was the case yesterday. You had a plan, but then you had another plan if a caution came out or if somebody else did something. That was a thinking person's race. I'm usually not into strategy races, but this one had a nice theme to it.
Well, you know, look, first you have to start with plan A, but you also have to assume that you're going to be at plan double Z by the time that the race is over. And a lot of it is just what opportunity presents itself. And when it does, what can you do? You know, let's go back to some strategy at Gateway. Jonathan Hassler, Ryan Blaney's crew chief, opted, let's get the fastest pit stop we can, unbuckle that fuel can as soon as you can. Their teammate, Austin Cindric, they held that fuel can in for another 1.3 seconds. Guess who actually made it to the finish line before they ran out of fuel? Jonathan Hassler is great at doing some extreme strategies at times. And not that yesterday was necessarily extreme, but he's thinking what is going to be the winning call. And they made the winning call, and he had the right guy behind the wheel to do it.
I think he was also thinking, let's not run out of gas on the last lap again.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
They asked him about that in post-race availability, if, you know, if that was something that he thinks about now, and of course it is. But that's the kind of race that Pocono seems to always be and present to us, one where, depending on where the cautions fall or, you know, what avenue you try to go, do you try to short pit and flip the stage, you know, does it, and if you do that, is it going to work for you the way that the cautions fall? That just seems to be the kind of race that Pocono always is. And a lot of people really enjoy that. I mean, there is a lot of, you said it's a thinking person's race.
Right.
So maybe not so much for me, but no, I'm just kidding. You know, those kind of races are fun to watch. If you can follow them and if you have a broadcast that is keeping you informed on what is happening, I think that's really important, especially for the casual fan to know, okay, well, this is what the game board looks like, and this is where all the pieces are, and this is what can happen. And I thought that NBC did a good job of that.
This race did not pass the eye test. There wasn't a lot of side-by-side. There were some crashes and stuff, but there wasn't a lot of direct battling. It was more of a chess match than it was checkers, but if you bothered to follow along, it was a pretty good storyline. It's kind of like Mike Tyson, the great boxer, said, everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And he's right. And other teams got punched in the mouth. They either crashed out or they got out strategized. And I really feel like this race came down to who got out on pit road first.
I mean, there was quite a long period of time in this race where I thought, you know, you never want to say it's a foregone conclusion, but I was pretty sure that Denny Hamlin was going to be the guy, you know, potentially sitting in victory lane when it was all said and done. And it just shows that that's not always the case. I think he did have the fastest car, and I don't think he won. The fastest car doesn't always win.
That's right. It's not a fastest car contest. It is a race, and it's about being the fastest to the checkered flag.
And I thought Chase Elliott squandered an opportunity with that late race penalty, getting caught on speeding on pit road. They run through that same trap all day long, and then he gets popped. He had, a top three car at least.
I would agree. And one of four drivers, literally the same section on the same round of pit stops, section seven there, which apparently people were saying maybe it was measured different or so on and so forth. But either way, there were four that got penalized. There were 32 that didn't.
It seemed like going into this race, it was almost a foregone conclusion that a Toyota was going to win. Probably a Toyota from Joe Gibbs Racing Stable. Martin Truex Jr., first win of the year. Ty Gibbs was on the pole for this event. Mm-hmm. Denny Hamlin is Mr. Pocono. So you just felt like, okay, that's where the trophy's going to go. Everybody's battling for second. But in the end, Denny Hamlin had to settle for second.
I mean, as far as having one of the best cars, it got away, but it's still a good day. If you blindly said, okay, we're not going to go race at Pocono, you're going to finish first, second, second, are you all right with that? I would probably take it.
So he took it. It was a nice points day for him. And Alexis and Brad, they needed this because he had been floundering the last month or so.
Mm-hmm. He had been. I mean, he even mentioned it, on his podcast, Actions Detrimental, that he's been having a terrible month. He blamed it on
the dog.
He blamed it on his new dog, which that's not very fair.
It's a country song.
To the new dog. But yeah, I mean, they definitely needed this. And I think he had a good quote too. We're giving away lots of good quotes here today. He had a good quote after the race yesterday that said, you never lose a race, you just run out of time. And, you know, certainly, I don't know if that's always the case, but it was potentially the case for him yesterday.
Yeah, I like that quote, though, mm-hmm. actually. But yeah, he did need a good day. Look, we have five races to go until the playoffs begin. And Denny Hamlin, while he's won three races and has been very strong, he's not exactly right up there in the point standings. And every position he can gain between now and the end of the regular season at Darlington is going to be a potential playoffs point that he can earn. And they've done a good job winning stages, winning races, and all of that. But still, you're going to be giving up something to everyone in front of you. You have to have that consistency and literally just hit the ball straight down the line.
You need a storehouse of bonus points and stage points once you get to the playoffs. Because the year that Chase Elliott won the title, that's how he did it.
Yep.
He had such a boatload of playoff points when they got to the playoffs that it literally almost pushed him all the way to the Final Four, and then he won the championship. I want to give a little shout-out here to Alex Bowman. Hadn't done much this year. Had been hanging around in the high-rent district. He won last week, and he raced up to a third-place finish this week. Is Alex Bowman somebody we need to be looking out for?
You know, I think that's a case study for what momentum can do for you. I really, really do. I mean, obviously, Alex hasn't had a terrible season. He hasn't. It's just that there are people around him that have had, really good seasons, and they're getting talked about way more than what Alex Bowman is getting talked about. He gets that win at Chicago that propels him, obviously, to the front of everybody's stories and in the media and everything else. And then he backs it up with a top three finish. So I think, like I said, it's a case study for what momentum can do. And it'll be interesting to see kind of where he goes from here. Does he continue that momentum? Do we continue to see him in the storylines or not?
Look, two races is not a trend. But I like Alex Bowman. I'm not saying Alex Bowman is Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, William Byron, his three teammates at all. But Alex Bowman's a guy capable of having a four-win season. Alex Bowman is a guy that 2 years ago missed six races because of a head injury. Last year missed three races with a back injury and came back. And also yesterday with that third-place finish, moved up into the top 10 in point standings. Now he's only three behind Brad Keselowski to move into ninth. It is possible, again, climbing that ladder, trying to finish as high as you can within the top 10 and get as many playoffs points as you can.
Watch the NBC broadcast team yesterday on the USA Network, and Steve Letarte had some nice insight. He said, I think we underestimate how hard it is for drivers to come back from injury.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Bowman had a couple of bad ones, a concussion and a broken back.
Yeah.
That's pretty serious. That's not part of the Band-Aid brigade going to the emergency room. So I think all of us collectively might have been a little bit guilty of saying, well, he's just not any good anymore. I think it takes a while to get reacclimated to these race cars.
I think so, absolutely, especially when you're talking about a head injury. I mean, look at what happened to Dale Earnhardt Jr. Look what happened to Kurt Busch. I mean, Chase Elliott. Those things are serious and take serious recovery time and recuperation time. And to be able to do that and not only to recover and to recuperate, but end up back in victory lane, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these cars have a learning curve. And every week you're not in it, there are a bunch of other people who are in it learning more and more.
They take advantage of you because you're sitting still and they're pushing forward every day that you miss. Mm-hmm. Time now for our Toyota performance report. Toyota did not get the win at Pocono, but they sure had a heavy population in the top 10. Denny Hamlin finished second. Tyler Reddick was sixth. Eighth went to Martin Truex Jr. and 10th to Bubba Wallace. He really needed a good finish. Christopher Bell came home in 12th. Ty Gibbs, who won the pole, floundered around. He had motor problems and a myriad of other issues. Finished 27th. 28th went to John Hunter Nemechek, who was in a couple of incidents. That is our Toyota Performance Report, brought to you by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. The bubble drivers, who's close to getting in on points and who's close to falling out? We'll examine all that next here on Fast Talk.
Can you handle the smoke? Then Toyota Racing wants you. Not the kind of smoke wafting from the grill on race days. Smells good. Kind of smoke from Victory Donuts, drifting less than a hair's width from walls and blasting off to the tune of 300 miles per hour plus. If the smoke smells inviting, we're looking for you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
I'm Kevin Harvick, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say, $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Winners keep piling up in the NASCAR Cup Series. If you win, you pretty much are in. There are only 5 races left in the regular season, and 4 slots are still open. Will they all be filled by drivers that get in on points, or will we have a 13th winner? That is yet to be determined. But Alexis, Brad, let's kind of analyze these folks that are in those spots right now. In the 16th spot, in the last transfer spot, is Ross Chastain. A couple of weeks ago, he was nearly 60 points to the good. He's now 27. Bubba Wallace is minus 27. That would seem like, Brad, the two logical places that things might flip. There may be a couple of more that could get in or fall back out.
Yeah, but Ross is going to win Indy, so no. In all seriousness, look, I mean, he lost a lot of points, to Bubba Wallace. He lost nearly 30 points in that exchange right there, just him having a solo spin at Pocono. And look, here's the thing about Chastain. You go back and look at his season. In terms of average finish this year, he's right up there. He's around 7th in terms of average finish. But point standings-wise, he's been dropping down, and I'm talking real point standings, not the playoffs points. And the reason why is they're not qualifying well. Chastain will go out there and lead practice and then start 21st. That's happened a lot of times this year. He started 19th on Sunday at Pocono, and not that he led practice either. They weren't that great. There's something missing in the speed of that race car right now. The biggest thing that's hurting him, however, is what happens on Saturday, because they are not collecting any stage points, and that has made a huge difference in where they are this year.
Alexis, I get a feeling that Ross Chastain's a guy that needs emotional reassurance, and he's not getting that this year on the racetrack.
Yeah, I mean, you know, going off of what Brad just said, I think that's very important, because when you qualify as bad as or not as bad, but in the back, you don't get those stage points in the first stage. You struggle to pass cars. Second stage, he obviously had an incident yesterday at Pocono. You know, I think the fact that he has yet to visit victory lane, to your point, Doug, I mean, that's the confidence that I think he's missing. You know, you get to victory lane, you have one victory, you gain confidence, you get better, you get better. He hasn't had that this season. And because he's starting to say, okay, well, we're only five races away from the playoffs, here I am on the cut line and I don't have any wins, that robs confidence from you. The qualifying effort, I'm sure, robs confidence from him on any given Sunday. So those things, in terms of emotional reassurance, I think is probably hampering him just a little bit.
And Chastain said his problems at Pocono are all on him.
I'm just worried about why I spun out. Race car driver in the Cup Series, I shouldn't be doing that. So you don't see us do that too often. When I do it myself, I'm as surprised as everybody else.
Is he like a golfer that's got to make a shot, Brad? Is he pushing?
Maybe so. You know, you remember last year, he was really strong, kind of kept that momentum from 2022 up until he had that Darlington incident with Kyle Larson. And Cliff Daniels had that famous quote on the in-car radio, because that's where he likes to send a lot of public messages about, that's three races, Eric Warden, talking about Eric Warren for Chevy. And that clipped the wings of Ross Chastain for a while, until they won at Nashville Super Speedway. And then still, they came back. But I don't feel like he got his mojo back until he won that Phoenix race, truthfully. But then this year, again, poor qualifying efforts have led to results and a lack of points that they need right now.
Chris Buescher's in pretty good shape, Alexis. He's plus 44 to the good, sitting there in the 15th slot. Does he need to worry, or do they have to keep their guard up?
You know, I think I would not be feeling super secure at plus 44. I don't even know, honestly, in the way that things go this day and age, and the fact that any new winner from outside of the playoffs could push this cut line down so far, that I would be feeling secure if I was anybody but Martin Truex Jr. right now. Martin Truex Jr. is plus 137. I feel like that would be a huge, huge swing for him to end up on the outside looking in after five races. But Ty Gibbs plus 67, Chris Buescher plus 44, Ross Chastain plus 27. I don't know. I'm not feeling safe if I'm any one of those guys.
All right, Brad, let's go below the cut line. Bubba Wallace made up a lot of ground at Pocono. He had a decent finish, got up near the top 10. Good day for Bubba Wallace. But at minus 27, he has to have some help. He needs some other teams to have bad days, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know that Chastain's going to spin out twice in a row. And we've got Indy this weekend. You know, points alone, just points alone, not, you know, in the absence of a unique winner from someone from behind them. I only feel, personally, that Bubba and Chastain are the only two in play today. Points alone. I don't know that Chase Briscoe is going to make up those points. I mean, think about this. For Chase Briscoe, minus 75 points, that's a race and a half almost. I mean, the maximum you can earn is 60 points. The maximum you can gain over someone is 59. And I know mathematically it's not quite a race and a half, but realistically, you're going to tell me someone who is like outside of the top 16 is going to make up a race and a half worth of points on someone in five races? I don't think that's possible.
So if I'm hearing you right, you really think it is a battle between Chastain and Bubba Wallace for that last spot.
Right
on
now.
On points.
That's
on
it.
Points.
On points alone. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Alexis, your thought on that?
Like I said before, I feel like it's so easy to have somebody potentially win from outside the cut line to push that. Yes, as we stand right now, with the way the points look right now, it does definitely look like the biggest two competitors that are going to have to keep an eye on each other every single weekend on the racetrack is Ross Chastain and Bubba Wallace. But when you have races coming up, I mean, just think about how these guys are feeling heading into Indy week. I know we're going to talk more about Indy. We're going to have Michael Young on the call. But this car has never run on the oval at Indy. If you didn't run good at Pocono, there's a good chance you might not run great at Indy. So there's,
true.
Yeah, there's a lot of probably apprehension from some folks heading into this weekend at Indy.
Could we see Blaney win back-to-back?
Potentially, sure.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine for Roger Penske if Blaney were to win at the Brickyard. He had Joseph Newgarden win back-to-back 500s this year. He had all three cars. He had three wins this past weekend.
Yeah, he swept the weekend.
Swept the weekend, two wins in IndyCar Series at Iowa, plus Ryan Blaney. If RP's out there kissing the bricks with Ryan Blaney on Sunday, that's going to be a major accomplishment.
Certainly will be. Look forward to it. It's less than a week away now. I'm so geeked about being on the oval back at Indy. We're going to talk about a couple of teams that can't wait for that Olympic break, so maybe they can lick their wounds and go at it. We'll do that next, and then we'll chat Brickyard 400.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. 800-397-6805. That's 800-397-6805.
I'm Joey Logano, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network. We saw a lot of chaos in the closing laps of the race. So just trying to minimize that, make it more about a race than people just using each other up.
I think it's needed. It was needed at all the road courses.
While I don't think it's going to be a home run, I think that it'll be in the right direction.
So many opportunities to either be really good or make mistakes, and they can start adding up on you quick.
For the latest NASCAR news without a restrictor plate, it's PRN's Garage Pass. For the station near you, check us out at goprn.com.
Hi, this is PRN's David Stiles. Join me each week when I head over to JC's Garage to talk NASCAR.
As of right now, if I were to name my top five, I could tell you Chase Elliott wouldn't be in that top five with this next-gen car. He has a lot to prove on the road courses with this next-gen car, but I still don't think there's a real out-front leader. I think Tyler Reddick has been outstanding.
That's JC's Garage, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Like sometimes on the show we get stuck in certain themes. That's because the merry-go-round keeps going around and stopping at the same place. We've talked a lot about Kyle Busch this year and the abysmal performance from Richard Childress Racing at Pocono. That was amplified by the fact he had to go to the back of the pack because they found a leaky oil line on the car before it was even pushed out on the grid. That's not supposed to happen with top-rated teams. They should be ready, set, go. At least they caught the problem. And then, of course, Kyle Busch got caught by Corey LaJoie later on in the race. Kyle Busch.
That's a problem, too.
Yeah, that was a problem. We're going to talk about that. And Kyle had this to say about his tete-a-tete with Mr. LaJoie.
You have mirrors and cameras and everything else, so you try to get in front of the run that's coming. And I was trying to get in front of that run, and sometimes some don't lift. Kamikaze.
Kamikaze.
He's right.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah, that wasn't even kamikaze. That, like, Corey LaJoie actually could have gone straight when that happened. And guess what? This is highly competitive NASCAR racing. You're going to get blocked. You're going to get, you know, moved out of the way. Someone's going to cut in front of you. That doesn't mean that you turn your wheel to the right and turn back into them and then wreck like five other cars.
Yeah, and especially when you have had a string of performances over the past several weeks where you either are an incident or cause an incident. I think that puts an even bigger...
From practice to qualifying to races. Well, I don't know if he's had a qualifying one. I'll be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go.
There have been a lot of times this year that it just feels like to me when we're calling a race that the first caution is the 7 car of Corey LaJoy. Mm-hmm. And he gets up in the fence. He has a problem. And he what is worse is he might be running 15th when that happens. And you think, okay, maybe this is the day. And then something inevitably goes wrong, and he winds up floundering around finishing 30th. He is 30th in points right now. Part of his frustration, I've got to think, is Carson Hocevar, who is 7 points ahead of
seven places
ahead of him in the points. And he just signed on this year. And
he got a 25-point penalty.
Yes.
What year is
sixth?
This is
full-time
his
season.
Full-time season.
He's finished 30th or worse in 3 of those. Or is current, this would be one of those 3.
Yeah, how long do you give something like that, you know?
He's got Rodney Childers. The number 7 car has Rodney Childers coming on top of the pit box. And that's
a
lot to
live
up to. Thank you very much. Look, you have a 40-time winner and championship-winning crew chief is going to be the crew chief for that car. I want to be a part of that. I would want to be a part of that. And I would realize that he's the alpha on that team as well.
And I think everybody in the garage kind of likes Corey. He's outspoken, good-looking
awesome
guy. Got a wonderful podcast, his Stack and Penny show, all of that. But his narrative for years has been, we've been the little engine that should or could.
Yeah, now you've caught the train.
Well, now you're a team that's spending $30, $40 million to buy charters. You've got the wherewithal. But nothing on the Corey LaJoy side has paid off, and that's a shame. He started out the season 4th in the Daytona 500. And you remember this, guys. There was a lot of buzz about, here he is. Maybe this is the year that Corey LaJoy makes the playoffs. Again, it's going to be another disappointing year. And maybe the insertion of Rodney Childers with that Spire Motorsports team turns things around.
Yeah.
You know, two of the things that you said there, one, 2023, I think he showed some signs that the people, pundits, us, thought, oh my goodness, he is about to have a breakout. Finally, you know, we're getting ready to see what he can do with this equipment. Didn't really happen. 2024 comes around. He has had an abysmal season. And the one thing that I struggle to understand is a lot of what Doug said too. Like, they have money. They usually say it takes money to go fast in this industry. There is no doubt about it. Spire has money. So what is the missing link there?
Brand new shop, all the things.
Yes, all the things. They have all the things.
Everything that should result in that team jumping up. And I'm telling you, you know the frustration of having a new teammate that's outperforming you weekly.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you ready for a stat?
Give it to us.
Corey LaJoy has had 13 lead lap finishes this year in 21 races. He's not finished on the lead lap 8 times. Take a wild guess. Who else has only 13 lead lap finishes this year?
Kyle Busch. Yeah. Wow.
Well, we were talking about him too. I don't know the mystery at RCR. We talked about it last week. And Brad, I think you gave a great statement when you said it's like the season started without them.
Yeah. Like, all
left
of a sudden they were
the
like,
dust.
Oh, wait, Daytona's here. Okay, let's start getting ready.
And there's been obviously a fall off of Kyle Busch at RCR. Austin Dillon, nowhere to be found. Austin Dillon is below Corey LaJoy, I think, in points.
You're right. He's 32nd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, nothing good is coming out of Richard Childress Racing this year. I don't like that because that's one of our legacy teams. They're supposed to be decent, and they're not this year. There's no way to polish that.
And when you have a talent like Kyle Busch and you're not able to use that talent to get results on the racetrack in a meaningful way, you know, that's scary, because that shows me that whatever issue they have is deep rooted and it's going to take a lot, you know, to overcome. I think at this point, you know, you can tell even in his interactions, you know, do you guys think Kyle has kind of just thrown his hands up and said, well, I guess this is it? You know,
I want to thank Focus Factor and Cheddar's and all my sponsors.
Right.
You know,
exactly. I mean, and that's not Kyle Busch either. That's not who he is.
He didn't even care enough at Pocono to get really mad.
He doesn't even have his swagger to get mad like that.
And that is scary.
Yeah. Very much
no,
so.
That is scary. I don't want to believe that's the case, but it's starting to look like it. It's just like, okay, just throw everything overboard and maybe we start again next year. But I don't know if you're back at RCR, what's to make you think that next year is going to be decidedly better.
Yeah, Austin Dillon said last week in Chicago, he said, look, you know, we're working on a lot of things. Kyle Busch believes in the process and the things that we're doing, but this isn't something that gets turned around, in my opinion, before Phoenix, the season finale. No. This is something that you hope to come back at Daytona, and you spent the last 6 months getting all of these things together, and now you're ready to do it. Look, Stewart Haas Racing, albeit shutting down effectively at the end of the year, they've had a major turnaround this year. Right. They've had great, they're having great finishes, knowing they're not going to be there anymore. If RCR can have that kind of turnaround, then this time next year, we could be singing their praises.
I do want to applaud Stewart Haas Racing for not tanking.
Yeah.
It would have been real easy to say, okay, we're just going to stop coming in and we'll finish 34th, 35th, 6th, and 7th. And they haven't. And actually, in some places, they're trending better.
And I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons for that. Obviously, pride is one of them, all of those things. But, you know, a lot of those folks over there are racing for their jobs, for mm-hmm. a job. It is a job interview, you know? So if they can show that even with this lost cause of a team that's not going to be around in 2025.
I do want to add to what you just said that the I kind of cringe when everybody says, well, now you're auditioning for a job. Shouldn't you have been auditioning for a job every time you show up at the racetrack?
Yes.
Shouldn't you say today, you know,
it's a little
different. I give my
though.
All for Appalachian State. Yes, I'm going to give my all for this race team.
Sure. It's a little different, though, when you know for sure that you're not going to have a paycheck coming in at the end of the year.
I get it, but I hear that and I go like,
we're going to try today now that we're not going to be here.
Yeah.
Maybe if you tried yesterday, you would be here.
Yeah, now that my butt's in a sling, I'm really going to try.
Yeah. And I don't think that that's how they were racing, but I get both of your points.
All right. We've got to take a break. By the way, Kyle Busch has a little bit of hope. We're heading to a racetrack where he has won twice before. That's the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Michael Young of the IMS Radio Network joins us next.
Fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
For NASCAR fans just tuning in, I'm Kyle Petty here with Echo Park, the official used car of Speedway Motorsports. This season will be the most exciting one yet with the introduction of Echo Park's Coffee Cup Series, a pre-race event where race fans can grab coffee, ask me questions, and check out the great cars of Echo Park. And this just in, fans will be entered for the chance to win a VIP ticket upgrade and ride in the pace car. Echo Park, every car, happy owner.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries to hold on the outside.
Truex on the inside. Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
The last time the NASCAR Cup Series raced on the oval at Indianapolis Motor Speedway was 2020. Then there was a three-year hiatus during COVID, and then we went to the road course. And now this year, NASCAR, I feel like, triumphantly returns to the 2.5-mile oval at the famed Brickyard. And we have with us from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, our good buddy Michael Young. Michael, thanks for making some time. Where are you going to be working when we do the Brickyard and assorted events this weekend?
I'm working in the Elephant Ear tent just outside Turn 2. Actually, I'm actually going to be calling everything from the top of the Turn 2 suites. They moved our position from the middle of Turn 2 to the actual exit of Turn number 2, which is a fantastic vantage point. It'll be... basically, Nick Yeoman will call him out of turn number one, and I can see all of turn number one, turn number two, all the way through turn number three, where Pat Patterson will be calling everything. I can actually see part of turn four. So it's one of the best vantage points in all of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So looking forward to it.
You know, Michael, Doug had mentioned that it's been several years since we've been, that the NASCAR Cup Series cars have been on the oval. In your opinion, what's the significance of them coming back to the oval?
The big thing, I think, is that it's been 30 years, believe it or not, since we started the Brickyard 400 back in 1994 when Jeff Gordon won the race. So put it this way, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is about the oval. The road course is fantastic, and I enjoyed the races on the road course. And, of course, IndyCar runs that road course as well. We'll have IMSA running that road course. But the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and the term Brickyard is about that 2.5-mile oval. So to be back on that after so many years of doing the road course, I think is so significant. And just a couple of current drivers actually won that race. Brad Keselowski, and you mentioned Kyle Busch. It's anybody's game. There was a tire test, I think a couple of weeks ago. I actually worked two blocks of my day job south of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Kyle Busch did the tire test. Michael McDowell and Ty Gibbs did that. They did a wheel force test as well. So a lot of data gathered, and everything with Goodyear looks fantastic. It's going to be a fantastic weekend.
Well, one guy who has done a lot of testing this year on Indy, albeit in the open wheel car, was Kyle Larson. And with the exception of a speeding penalty, we saw an amazing month of May for him. And I'm kind of curious. I mean, look, I'm not taking away from what Joseph Newgarden did in winning the Indianapolis 500, but how well received Larson was back in the month of May, how that may transfer over to this weekend.
An 18th place finish, and to your point, Brad, he not got that penalty. I think he would have easily been in the top 10. It was a month of May that race fans were very intrigued by what Kyle Larson brought to the table. And with that Arrow McLaren program, and hopefully he'll do it again in 2025, with the rain delay and everything that had happened, he did a fantastic job. And there were many in the media, yours truly included, that thought he could easily win that race. Not taking away anything from any of the IndyCar drivers, but Kyle Larson is that special of a driver. And although it being a completely different discipline with IndyCar, he put on a show, and he put on a mastery of that vehicle that he had never driven before. It was something to behold. And just that being able to run the oval in the month of May for not just a day or two, it was for 2 weeks. I think he'll be able to come into this weekend and at least have a leg up with the other competition, albeit besides Kyle Busch and Ty Gibbs and Michael McDowell, who did the tire test. But Kyle Larson was fantastic in the month of May and always a threat at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Our guest, Michael Young, he'll be calling Turn 2 for the IMS Radio Network this weekend for all the events at the Brickyard. And Michael, I'm not trying to bloviate here. I wish more NASCAR fans got to hear your whole crew call races. I think it's marvelous, and I'm not blowing smoke, what you guys do with the Indianapolis 500. Yourself, Chris Denary, Mark James, Nick Yeoman, Jake Query, and I'm sure I've left some people out, but I wish they could hear the kind of broadcast that you guys do. I think it's fabulous. The only thing I find wrong with it is you don't get to do it on larger platforms, not taking anything away from the regular schedule of the IndyCar, but because a lot of that's up against NASCAR. And I think it adds to the fact, I don't know that people appreciate how this hybrid broadcast of PRN and IMS works so well.
Well, honestly, Doug, it's passion, right? We're all very passionate about what we do. And I thank you for the compliments. It means a lot coming from you. And you had an opportunity to work with us on Pit Lane. So you have an idea of what it's like working the Indianapolis 500, taking nothing away from Daytona or the Charlotte race that you guys do. It's truly a special day to work the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and be part of this radio network. And to be a part of legendary names like Bob Jenkins, Sid Collins, and Mark James, now our anchor. It's such a unique opportunity to be able to paint a picture for people that can't be at the race, or even the people that are at the race, to be able to let them know what's happening in turn four where Chris Denari is. And when he calls in, I'll be able to see him in turn two. And just to paint that picture, we have so many people, and we don't broadcast the race here in Indianapolis due to the fact that it's just been blacked out for years. And radio has been the only form that people have been able to listen to the broadcast. And it really is, you know, it's funny, you kind of pinch yourself, and I know I'm actually calling turn two, but it's like an outer body experience. You just don't, it just kind of happens. And it's so fantastic to be able to have you guys come up. I remember, Doug, driving to Bristol, it's been 20 years ago, maybe, and listening to you guys call the Bristol race, and listen, walking to the, driving to the track, walking up, listening on the scanner to the broadcast, and saying, oh, it'd be neat to work with PRN and that crew one day. So to be able to have that to come to fruition, and with it being your last lap and everything that's happened with you, so rightly deserved. I will tell you, there is still places at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway that you can find bricks. There is just a special, I may go down into the creek and try to find at some point, if I can, a brick.
I've so, seen them playing golf there, because a lot of my balls end up in the creek.
That's all of my balls end up in there. My son always, he plays with the best golf balls, the most expensive golf balls. And I'm like, son, the game I have, they will all end up in that creek at some point or another. So it doesn't matter. I'll use a range ball before I'll spend or use an $8 golf ball out of the Brickyard golf course.
Well, look, if you go swimming for some bricks in the creek, I'm going to need one of these guys to make sure and film it for me, because that'll be a sight to see. Brad.
I want to see the scuba gear out and everything.
The scuba
gear. There's no scuba gear, Brad. It's just I come out with leeches. I'm just covered in leeches. That's the kind of commitment that I give to get Doug a brick.
I tell you what, you know, Brad alluded to it when he talked about Kyle in the amazing month of May that he had, and a lot of the NASCAR fan eyeballs that were paying attention to what happened in IndyCar because of him. My fear is, even though they were treated to what I think was a extremely compelling Indy 500 storyline with Kyle Larson, all that, perhaps a lot of those folks, once Kyle Larson was no longer in the field, stopped, you know, watching IndyCar, which I think is a real shame, because I think it's a fantastic series. Tell people who maybe don't know a lot about the storylines that are happening in IndyCar, you know, why they should be paying attention to this form of motorsports in the United States.
Well, it's interesting. Open wheel racing is, along with what you guys cover, and of course NASCAR, but open wheel racing and the Indianapolis 500 have been around. We just did our 108th running. It's such a competitive form of motorsports and so foreign. I think that's the interesting thing. Once the split happened back in 1996, I think people kind of lost sight of open wheel racing. And it was interesting when the split happened, when IndyCar and Tony George did the IRL and then the Champ Car Series formed, it was probably the worst time for that to happen. Never that you never want anything to split. But that's when Jeff Gordon was getting his sea legs and Dale Earnhardt, and that rivalry began. And I think there was a lot of confusion in open wheel racing. They didn't really know what they were watching. Was it Formula One? Okay, I want to watch my favorite open wheel driver, but I'm watching the race and he's not there. And there was a lot of confusion for a lot of years. But this series is so competitive at this point. Drivers like Joseph Newgarden, who's won, you know, back-to-back Indianapolis 500s. Only six drivers have done that in the history of that race. His teammate Scott McLaughlin from New Zealand has done an amazing job with Team Penske. Will Power just won his second race of the season this past weekend in Iowa, but the competition is so great. And I think what's foreign to a lot of Cup fans is we do a lot of road course racing, a lot of street course racing, and they're being introduced to it now with, you know, running in, of course, in Sonoma, but the Chicago street race that happened over the 4th of July, that I think that type of spectacle becomes more appealing to a NASCAR fan. But the amount of power, the speed that happens at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, just talking about the Indianapolis 500 and what Kyle Larson was able to do going over 230 miles an hour in a four-lap qualification run, it's just an entirely different animal. And with the Pocono race this past weekend, I remember when IndyCar ran at the Pocono Speedway, the PA announcers were, oh my gosh, these cars are so fast. It's the amount of speed and control that is put on each and every weekend with the NTT IndyCar series that is so very, very special, and so many talented people that come through that sport. It's a different animal, a different beast, to Doug's point about what we do on our broadcast. It's an entirely different animal. But if you enjoy competition and racing, like I know Cup fans do, it is some of the most competitive, compelling, and most fun forms of motorsports to watch.
Well, Michael, thank you for spending a few minutes here with us on Fast Talk. All of us look forward to working with you and the rest of the IMS radio crew. This weekend, we'll return to the Brickyard at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Coming up next, a little green flag, black flag.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. 800-748-0593. That's 800-748-0593.
I'm Eric Jones, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmie Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmie Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmie Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention. Very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row? Nobody's done five in a row.
We very much appreciate Michael Young from IMS Radio for joining us, and I can tell you it's one of the highlights of the year when PRN gets to go and combine with the talents of the IMS Radio crew to call a race at Indianapolis. It has been a fun deal. I think I've done about 25 of those races. I did all but three of the Brickyards. I didn't do the Gordon one and the Earnhardt one and whatever was next. It might have been Dale Jarrett. Then the rest of them I was a part of. I was either on the
pit road. This will be your 28th.
Yeah, so that'll be good.
Or 27th.
I I've grown to really have an affection for that place. And I think Alexis caught the bug when we went up there that year that I did the 500.
Yeah, I mean, I had been there previously for the Brickyard races, but when you go for the 500, it is something completely different. We were there for the 99th running. Can you believe that it was almost 10 years ago that we were that in itself is mind-boggling to me. But yeah, it's a special place.
Yeah, that shows up in my Facebook memories, and I think it's nearly been a decade.
I know.
Wow, how did that happen?
Nuts.
All right, let's get into a little Green Flag, Black Flag.
It's time for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
Drivers, start your engines!
Let's
my
do
ears.
It.
Yeah, still the best of the year. The best of the year so far.
Love it.
We're off and running. Another one. The rules are simple. I read statements. Our panel mulls over those statements. If they give it a green flag, David Stiles gives it this. Give it a black flag, we get this. If they all agree. There you go. Start with Brad Gilley. Ty Gibbs will have a win before the year is out.
Black flag.
Oh.
I would have said at the beginning of the year, green flag. I just don't. I think there is a lot of maturing in the race car that he needs to do before he gets that elusive first victory.
All right. Not going to happen. Doug Rice.
I agree with Brad Gilley. I felt like maybe after the first half dozen races that it was imminent. I don't know that his racecraft is where it needs to be. I mm-hmm. love that word, by the way.
Racecraft?
Racecraft. I don't know where that came from, but I like it.
I like it, too.
All right, Alexis, break the tie or agree?
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree as well. I'm going to say black flag. I will say that I think he has had a very good sophomore season where a lot of folks go into a sophomore slump. I just don't know if he's exactly there yet to make it to victory lane, especially with the other competition around him.
All right, Doug Rice. Say what you will, snicker if you may, but you will see a win from Kyle Busch after he misses the playoffs.
I would love to, but I can't go there.
You're
I,
asking not with, Doug Rice if someone's yeah. going to win?
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, he will not. And I hate that. I want his streak to continue. I'd love for that to happen. But by what I've seen, if the past is prologue, no.
Okay, Alexis.
Yeah, I'm going to say black flag too. Can it happen? Sure. Will it happen? No, I don't think so. I just think it's an unfortunate situation over there. I would love as well for his streak to continue, but I don't think it's going to.
All right, Brad Gilley.
We do not have a consensus.
No.
Because the optimist in me is going to say green flag. The streak continues. Kyle Busch finds a way.
Didn't that happen a couple of years ago? Didn't we have a similar scenario with Kyle Busch? He was winless going into the playoffs or whatever, and then he tore up the playoffs. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe
I not. Just know that
might have been told.
Not the first time Doug said Kyle Busch has had his last win.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Let's go to Alexis Erickson on this one. We will see a first-time Indy winner this weekend.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And who might that be?
You know what? I'm going to say green flag. And I'm going to go with Ryan Blaney. Because I think, like I mentioned a couple segments ago, I think if you were good at Pocono, I think that couldn't translate to being good at Indy, and that would be huge for them and that team.
Very good. Brad Gilley.
I'll say green flag. I mean, look, the guy who won the last two on the ovals, Kevin Harvick, he's retired. Jimmy Johnson won 4. Jeff Gordon won 5. I mean, there's not that many people who've actually won there that are actually going to be racing this weekend. So, yes, green flag, and I will give it to Denny Hamlin.
Doug Rice.
Brad got in my head on that one. I like Hamlin and Blaney. Both of those I can easily see winning. There's only 3 drivers in that race this coming weekend that have won it before. Jimmy Johnson, that car is not capable of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Busch, pretty sure that car is not
that's,
capable of winning.
Same.
So that's and Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski could,
he
under
could.
The right circumstances,
hey, he had
win.
Another top 10 at Pocono.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that one, it's a long shot, but he could win.
All right, I think we're all out of time. Don't have time for another. Here's
all right.
Doug Rice.
Thanks a lot. Coming up, one last thing.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, and it's so easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Z-Max for your car, big rigs, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts store.
Can you handle the smoke? Then Toyota Racing wants you. Not the kind of smoke wafting from the grill on race days.
Smells good.
Kind of smoke from Victory Donuts. Drifting less than a hair's width from walls and blasting off to the tune of 300 miles per hour plus. If the smoke smells inviting, we're looking for you. Be part of the action at toyota.com/racing. Toyota, let's go places.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org.
Been a fun show. We will remind you, Alexis will give you the breakdown on the broadcast this coming weekend after Indianapolis, 2 weeks off for the Summer Olympic Games. And that's amazing. Sports that people never watch, track and field, they get enthralled in during the 2 weeks of the Summer Olympics. So look forward to that. And NASCAR will get a little break. We will continue, though, to produce unique content on Fast Talk shows. Now it's time for this.
One last thing.
Brad Gilley?
That was going to be my one last thing. But I'll go somewhere different. Because, look, this is a great time. Once the Olympics break is over, this is what I look forward to. You know, we talk a lot about the playoffs, and it's a 10-race playoffs and so on and so forth. Quite honestly, a lot of people in a lot of sports don't even pay attention to a sport until we get into the postseason. For me, I'm not really a big basketball fan. I might have a passing interest in what happens in the college tournament, for example. Something like that. You know, a lot of people who might be passing baseball fans, they'll start to watch when the playoffs start and get into the World Series. The four races leading up to the playoffs this year, once we come back from that Olympics breaks, with Richmond, which is going to actually have an optional tire, with Michigan, with Daytona, and Darlington, I actually think is going to be some of the most intense NASCAR racing that we will have in 2024. Stay plugged in. That's my one last thing.
That's awesome, Brad.
Thank you.
I still like Daytona being that last cutoff race, but if you got a substitute, Darlington's not a bad place to be.
Yeah. I like Darlington on Labor Day weekend, and the Olympics break forces that. So
must see, for sure. Absolutely. Well, I just want to give a shout-out to what we've got going on this weekend before we get to that Olympics break. We already talked about it with Michael Young on the air. We're going back to the Brickyard finally on the Oval again. Saturday, July 20th, we have Cup Series practice and qualifying. That practice is going to be huge, and that's going to be at 1 o'clock on Saturday. And then at 3 o'clock, you have the Pennzoil 250 Xfinity Series race, and then the Brickyard 400. Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Do not miss it.
Woohoo. Regrettably, I'm going to let real life invade the toy store of sports for just a moment. Of course, everybody is aware of the events this past Saturday and the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. One of my very first memories in life was hearing the ancient PA system at Biltmore Elementary crackle to life. That's in Asheville, North Carolina, when they came on and announced that John F. Kennedy had been shot. They did not know if he had died, but they announced that. And I remember, wow, this is big, and that's an elementary school kid processing that information. Unfortunately, in my life of 69 and a half years, I've had to live through John F. Kennedy getting assassinated. Bobby Kennedy, George Wallace, did not die from his assassination attempt, but he was in a wheelchair the rest of his life. Ronald Reagan was nearly shot while getting into a car in D.C., Gerald Ford had a couple of attempts on his life, and Martin Luther King Jr. unfortunately lost his life to an assassin. It is It is dreadful that when one person thinks they are so important to the world that they assign themselves the ability to change the course of history. It robs all of us in a free society of picking the candidates that we think should be done, not to mention being so arrogant that you feel like you have the ability to take someone's life to do so. I pray that in whatever is left of my lifetime, we don't have to witness this again. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back next week right here with a whole bunch more Fast Talk, and we look forward to heading up to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in Speedway, Indiana. Back to the Brickyard 400.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota racing information, visit toyotaracing.com. And Sunoco. Whether you're heading to the track or just hitting the road, fill up with Sunoco UltraTech. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.